Brother Lang's not law for myself. And feel I can get myself out of the way. I appreciate y'all's prayers. I sure have enjoyed being up here this week. I appreciate all of the hospitality and the freedom and the liberty that y'all have afforded me. We're all the same family, but y'all been good to my family, and I appreciate it. And I appreciate all the brothers that came in from out of town, Brother David and Brother Tim. And man, I really appreciated my father-in-law, him being here. It was an encouragement. You talked about it, him feeling it was like a pep rally, and that's kind of how I felt after I left. I was encouraged in spirit after he left the other night. So, what I've got on my mind, Lord willing, won't take too long. It's really to you that are lost. And was thinking about how that there are people that will teach you that to receive salvation, all you have to do is repeat a sinner's prayer and you're okay. But the way that we read the Word of God, I believe there's more to receiving salvation than just kneeling down and repeating a sinner's prayer. Over in Matthew chapter 7, he says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Part of the teaching of just coming down and doing a sinner's prayer is that you go down a sinner and you come back up a sinner and you go back out into that world of sin. I just read to you out of the Word of God that is a lie. That those who come down and say, Lord, Lord, and even though you think you've done all these wonderful works in His name, if you are continuing in that life of sin or what He calls iniquity, then you have not received the Holy Ghost. And that taproot of sin hadn't been removed from your life. Over in Luke chapter 11, Jesus is talking and he says, "Which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give thee." So there's this guy who's gone on this big long journey, and he's come into a friend, and he's saying, "Give me some food so that I can feed this guy who's come in off the road." And I can kind of feel for the guy who doesn't want to get up out of the bed. I've got a brand new newborn child, and if all my kids are laying in the bed and they're asleep right now, and somebody comes knocking on my door at 1-2 in the morning and wake us up, I might not be as nice as I should be either. I'd be kind of like, "Hey, you need to get on out of here. You're going to wake my kids up. Get on, go on." But I should be hospitable, but at that time in the morning, I might not be. I kind of feel kind of how that guy probably felt. "And he from within," the man who was asleep, "shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will need rise and give him as many as he needeth. I had to look up what that word importunity meant. When I first got called into the ministry, I started reading that and I was like, man, I don't understand what importunity, what are you talking about? But it literally means to, have you ever had your kid? Where's my son? I love him. Reagan, Lord, I love you, son. I love you. But when he wants like a piece of candy or something sweet, he will ask me and ask me and ask me and ask me again until either I just get flat out, I said no, or till he wears me down. And I said, all right, go ahead, go get that piece of candy. That's what importunity is. Consistently, overly, over and over and over again, coming to the Lord. Over and over, and it even has the connotations to the point of embarrassment to yourself. That I don't care how embarrassing I look. I don't care what it looks like to other people. I'm going to keep coming and keep coming and keep coming until I get the answer that I'm looking for. That's what importunity means. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given unto you, given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Amen. This whole passage right here, he is talking about people seeking for the Holy Ghost. Seeking. Does that sound like somebody that came down one single time, repeated a sinner's prayer, and got up and didn't feel any different than when they left? That's a person, he's talking about a person who is continually coming before the Lord. Lord God, like that Pharisee and that publican. That Pharisee, just look at me, look at me, look at me, how righteous I am, how good I am. Lord, I'm thankful that I'm not like the rest of these people. And then there was this, I believe he said it was a publican, that couldn't even hardly lift up his eyes off the floor. He was so ashamed of the life that he had lived. So ashamed of what he had lived. And he said, Lord, just with a humbleness of heart, he said, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. That's you right now. In your sin, just come down before the Lord. Get rid of all your own self-righteousness. All of the things that you think you know that make you good. And just say, Lord, I can't be good on my own. And we can't. The Word of God teaches us that the heart of man, before we receive the Holy Ghost, he said it is stone. It is a heart of stone, and it is deceitful, and it is desperately wicked. That's what the Word of God teaches. I can read you the scripture that the heart of man, before a person receives the Holy Ghost, their heart is deceitful. It will lie to other people. And even worse than that, Aunt Carolyn, it'll lie to ourselves. It'll lie to ourselves and tell us things that the Lord is not telling us. Will tell us things like, the Lord's not working with me anymore. Or I've waited too long and he's not going to deal with me anymore. These are lies of the devil. And these are lies that your stony heart is letting you believe. But he says when that Holy Ghost comes in and you continue coming before the Lord, knocking, knocking, knocking until you have been filled with the Holy Ghost. And when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, to be filled with the Holy Ghost, you have to repent of all the sin that is in your life, never to go back to that sin again. And you have to have faith in the Lord that He will give you the Holy Ghost. That's the simplicity of it. Those two things, faith and repentance. And when you continually keep putting that up before the Lord and putting it up before the Lord, He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, just like it happened on that day of Pentecost. Amen. And you will know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you have received the Holy Ghost. You'll feel something different. You'll know. It'll be different than just going down there and saying, "Lord, save me," and getting up and going back into that life of sin that you've been living. The Lord will change you from the inside out. He takes that heart of stone and He replaces it with a heart of flesh, Aunt Donna. A heart that beats. And on that heart of flesh, sister, He says He writes His laws on it. Glory to God that we can meditate on those laws and on the goodness of the Lord day and night. And how good it is just to rest on our bed at night and know that, "Lord, if you take me out of this life before I wake, I've got a better home waiting for me over in glory." And I can expect my Lord to not say, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity," but I can expect Him to say, "Enter in. Enter in, thou good and faithful child. You've been faithful over a few things. Now I'm going to make you ruler over many." Lord, I want to encourage you. You can make it tonight. You can have the Holy Ghost tonight. And I know that the Lord says it's not His will that any should perish. Not that a single person, Brittany, no one should perish. The Lord died on the cross for you. Not just for your mama, not just for your daddy, but for you. And He loved you that much that you can receive the Holy Ghost. And that's the faith that you gotta have. It's easy to believe that God did these things for somebody else. What's hard sometimes is to believe that God'll do it for me. And I want you to believe that God'll do it just for you, Delisa, for you. Mandy, like what you were talking about, God did some things just for you, not for somebody else. But where He gets to the place, sometimes when I pray, I just lift my hands up and I thank the Lord. I say, "Jesus, thank you for being my Savior." Yeah. Oh God. Yeah. My Savior. How good it is to know that I have a Savior that loved me enough to go to the cross and to make a way for me and to pay the debt, the sin debt that was on my life that I could never repay. In a million years of working, I'd have never been able to afford that debt that was in my life. But He loved me that much that He was willing to give His life for me. And that blood of Jesus, Lord, I keep thinking about that song that you're singing and how He says, "Mercy still flows from the palms of His hands." Thank the good Lord. How I can see my Lord and Savior just hanging there on the cross and that blood dripping down for me. Not just for me, but for every single person in this world who is willing to turn from their life of sin, to repent, and to put their faith and trust, glory to God, in a Savior who loves us beyond measure. Glory to God. I'm thankful today for the love of God. Brother, it's time for me to be quiet. Do you feel like saying anything else before we change the service? If y'all have got a song, this altar is open. Lay down all the things that you think you know, all of your own self-righteousness. Turn it over to the Lord and say, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And listen, when you call out to Him, when my son keeps asking me for things, it's not quiet. He doesn't say, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. He says, hey, Dad, 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 hey, I want some candy. When you're down here praying to the Lord, cry out to Him. Call on Him. When you are down, Lord, you are lost. You are just like a person who is lost out in the middle of a big, wide ocean and there's not a ship around. And you can't see anybody out there. And if I was out there, I'd be yelling to the whoever could save me, help! At the top of my lungs, I'd be crying out to them so that hopefully there's a boat right over there. And Brother David, I thought I'm getting out of the way. Brother, I'm sorry, but I'm going to try to get out of the way. But Brother David tells us, he says, when you feel that power of the Lord, we talked about that just a couple of days ago, but he says that power of the Lord is just like a lifeline that the Lord is sending out to you. It's like a rescue raft. And he's sending it out there to you, and he wants you just to grab a hold of it and hold on to it for all it's worth, and don't doubt that that's there to help you. Believe on it and just keep going on to the Lord. I need to get out of the way. Brothers, y'all come ahead with a song, and this altar is open.